Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. One of those rare Monday mornings, Trevor, where I am taking the L and you are enjoying a nice, big, fat, juicy win that all it did was destroy your draft position. But I digress. Congratulations, sir. How did it feel?
Feels great, John.
5-7, right?
Yeah, they are 5-7, I believe. The Buccaneers are.
What do you think the odds are here? Can they make a run?
Well,
nah.
I don't really think so, but here's the thing. Like, so they're playing this week.
The Saints, right?
Saints got to be on a... Yeah, Saints got to be on a revenge tour.
Okay.
And then they travel to Dallas, to Baltimore, and then at Atlanta.
Oh, my.
But, like...
Oh, my.
If Dallas starts being bad Dallas again, they could blow it even more.
Well, Trevor, a wise man once told me, if my aunt had a pear, she'd be my uncle. I think that applies here.
I actually don't know how this applies at all, but thank you for letting everyone know that
means
your aunt is in fact
wild,
your aunt.
Crazy things happen, of course, but...
I didn't think they'd beat the Panthers!
Panthers have been sliding, though.
Yeah, but okay, so then, what are they, one game out of the wild card?
Don't get your hopes up is all I'm saying
it's
here, Trevor.
Stupid.
I'm just trying to prepare you for what's about to happen.
To tell you it's stupid.
Listen, this I know you. You play it cool, like you know, like yeah, I know that it's not for you know. I'm not, but I know inside you're thinking about those back to back W's. You're thinking about the sweet arm of Jameis Winston leading this team to the next level. And
hey,
I'm
man.
Telling you, the Saints are going to hang 45 on your boys. And then you're going to be back where you were 3 weeks ago. And I just...
They hung 40 on them last time and still caught that L, you feel me? But hey, man, you were the one who wanted to bury him last week, and I said no.
I still wanted to. I think it still would be the right call to do it, but...
Yeah, but you got it.
I know you need... Listen, you got to
believe. You and I just have so different views of like how and when the funeral should work, and that's why I think it's a great... match for us to talk about on this show because like if I let you go free reign, you would be like, this team's 0-2, they're done. They're absolutely done. And I'd be like, pal,
listen, I didn't even bury the Texans when they were 0-3 here. I still believe they could turn that around, but they've won 9 straight now. But we did bury the Colts, by the way, and they lost to the Jaguars and got shut out, and the Jaguars have been
they got shut out.
They lost 6-0. Yeah, oh yeah. So we're feeling back to feeling good about that. Again, we had said this on the pod on Thursday. Lost in the shuffle of the Colts' massive win streak was the fact that they beat the Dolphins, the Titans, the Jaguars, the Raiders, and the Bills.
Could not have been lost on this show.
Was not lost on this show. They play the Texans next week in Houston, winners of 9 straight Texans. If the Colts are for real, and I think the Colts are... Let me say, I think they are much better than I thought. I didn't even think they'd be at 500 at this point in the season. So I'm still impressed. But if we're talking about them for real, it's like people are like, oh, I don't want to play the Colts in the playoffs. Like, they're a dangerous team. Like, okay, like you're going to need to beat somebody. To me, Texans, Cowboys still remaining on the schedule. Win both of those games. Then I'll feel like you're at least, you know, a for real playoff contender. But
this is a super weird week. And you kind of highlighted it beautifully on Twitter when you even basically called losses brutal or wins brutal losses for a couple of the teams that played today. I think the Giants were one of them. I mean, was Jacksonville another one? Jacksonville won.
Yep.
It's basically you listed off teams that should be playing for draft picks at this point that by winning games are just blowing it.
Right. I mean, look, I don't want to support tanking. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to support it. Well, like, okay, I do as a philosophy because there really is no argument. Tanking is smart. Like, it's smart. You cannot really argue that it's not smart.
In a sport where your record, where you draft is directly affected by the record you have, unlike the NBA, which does, like, the whole ping pong thing where it's like, okay, the worst record you have, the better chance you have at the top pick. Instead, in the NFL, it's directly just record. So anytime that it's directly just record, you tanking is 100% the best move for your organization.
Right. No question. So no question it is. It's not. And so again, then it becomes just a fan's desire to see wins because we're programmed to think that way, which I get. I don't want to take away from that because obviously it's about winning. So, like, I still value that part of the game. But, like, realistically, for me as a fan, like, if the Steelers were, like, clearly going to miss the playoffs like some of these other teams, then absolutely I would be like, I want to see the team lose. I want to see them play young guys. I want to see them get better. I want to see individual performances get better. But, like, I mean, honestly, I'd want them to lose. I want them to get the best draft position they can. But especially if you are a team in need of a quarterback because you know they're going to go top five. Look at every year in the draft other than the E.J. Manuel class going back to 2000. They're always drafting in the top five. There's been one every single year in the top five. I mean, obviously, this is a down year for quarterback class, but Haskins has looked better every single week, and he might declare. We'll see what happens with Herbert. I actually am just excited to be able to talk about this quarterback class with some level of certainty and hopefully get some answers out of these guys in the next couple weeks. But
so then
the Giants and then Jaguars, they just screwed themselves by winning.
I was going to ask you, which team hurt themselves the most with a win this week? Was it Arizona, who now takes a step further away from possibly getting Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa, the Giants, who need a quarterback, or the Jaguars, who need a quarterback? Because right now they're picking Arizona's picking 4, Giants picking 7, Jacksonville's picking 9. But, like, yeah, I guess, because Jacksonville's all the way up there.
I mean, they're 9. With strength of schedule being a tiebreaker doesn't do them any favors right now.
No, not at all. Their schedule's way too good.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's bad. And here's the thing with Jacksonville. Should they be 4-8, you can definitely argue they shouldn't be that bad and that they might win a couple more games this season as a result. Well, that doesn't matter right now. Because the closer they get to 8-8, the worse it is for them. You know, you don't want to be in purgatory, especially when you need a quarterback. When you need another position, it's okay. I mean, always you want to be higher. You know, you can live through it. But when you need a quarterback, and Oakland's sitting at number 2, and we'll see what they do, obviously, but the Giants are ahead of you. You know, you've got to think about what exactly is going on with your roster and play some of these younger guys. You know, I mean, you hate to say it, but, like, from a team building standpoint, it's obviously better to be out because now if Jacksonville wants to get up and go to quarterback, okay, you're gonna have to give up some assets to do it. Obviously, and maybe this is not the draft for quarterback.
Not nearly as much as previous years, though. Right?
Maybe it depends. You know, if Oakland falls in love with the quarterback at 2, and Herbert doesn't declare, and Haskins goes at 2, and I mean, I think we both agree that I don't know that is John Gruden's type of quarterback, so. You know, it's very possible we could be looking at the year where it doesn't matter as much because, I mean, look at the top 10. No chance San Francisco drafts a quarterback. No chance the Jets draft a quarterback. No chance Arizona drafts a quarterback. No chance Detroit. No chance Atlanta. No chance Buffalo. No chance Green Bay. That's right there. That's 7 of your 10 teams.
That's crazy.
Where it's a question. And usually it's like there's 3 or 4 teams where it's a question, 3 that don't, and then like a couple that absolutely need it. There's no question those teams aren't drafting a quarterback. In your top 10 right now, the only teams that will even consider a quarterback are Oakland, and a lot of people think that's a long shot this year, the Giants, and Jacksonville. Giants are at 7 right now. Jacksonville is at 9. Cleveland at 11. Let's just expand it. Cleveland at 11. No chance they consider a quarterback. You can start talking about it with Tampa Bay. Maybe with Cincinnati, I don't think so at all, but maybe so. We'll see what even happens if there's any change at all in Cincinnati. Philadelphia, no way. Miami at 15, yes, it's a possibility for sure.
For sure.
Can you even get one at 15?
I think they're picking one for sure.
It kind of depends, like, what's going to be on the board at 15. You know, I could see, I've said this before, and I even mocked it, I think, my last mock draft, but couldn't you see Adam Gase falling in love with somebody like Daniel Jones, like, who has absolutely no ceiling whatsoever, but, like.
How long has Gase been there?
Like 5 years, 4 years, maybe. I don't know. Just a pit of mediocrity. But
I mean, like, is Gase still going to be there?
They love him, dude. Oh my gosh, they love him. They love him. I'm telling you, the owners, everybody, they love him. So, I mean, they're going to try and see how he does with a new quarterback, I think. And then if that folds too, they might have no choice. But
can't wait for Drew Locke, Miami Dolphin great.
Maybe. I don't know. Be a weird fit with Gase. But I mean, yeah, it's possible, like, you know, I mean, but even then, the Colts at 16, no chance. Panthers 17, no chance. Titans, Mariota's not the issue right now for sure.
They're not good. They're not moving on from him.
Yeah. No. So Denver 19, definitely a possibility. Yes. But you're at 19. What do you do at that point? You know, yeah. Denver's got to make the playoffs to justify this sucker. And they're playing better right now for sure. Anyway, all that goes to say, we have a more decisive quarterback picture than I think we've had in years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's clear the teams that might need him or definitely need him. And there's a ton of teams that just won't even, that aren't even on the fence anymore.
But I thought that was pretty much the case last year, too. Like, I thought the quarterback needs were pretty obvious last year.
There were just more
year.
That definitely needed him last year. You know, I remember there was the
right.
Dolphins.
It was, and it certainly, it matched the class, right?
But
because
we also
there
had
were so many quarterbacks you could pick high.
Exactly. But, like, remember, last year, too, we had, Cleveland at one that needed one. Giants at two needed one, and they didn't take one. Broncos at five needed one and they didn't take one. Obviously, Jets, Bills, Cardinals all took one. Dolphins, a lot of people thought Dolphins would take one. So there was a ton of teams at the top there. And then Arizona, I think, moving up from 15, getting into the mix as well, which may be what Miami needs to do this season.
I wonder what the Dolphins board looked like last year. Like, what quarterbacks would they have picked over Minka?
I think it was out there. I don't think they liked Rosen either. I think
Rosen
Baker and Allen were the two.
That.
Baker and Allen were the two that was out there. Allen is wild to me. I would not have guessed that one.
That's why I'm telling you, dude, they're drafting Drew Lock.
Maybe they didn't. Yeah, I don't know. Possibility. We'll see. But okay, let's jump up to the top of the draft order. San Francisco's 2-10. The Raiders lost, but gave the Chiefs a good run for it, which. We probably need a whole show to unpack whatever
that's
happened there.
But that's the dream, right?
That's what you want.
That's right. The dream.
Battle, lose.
Right. No, it was you know,
it's
brilliant
the
game
for
by
a Raiders
Gruden.
Fan today.
Brilliant game by Gruden to get close, mm-hmm. bring a divisional opponent with a high-powered offense right to the brink, try to encourage your players, and then just snatch it from them at the very end.
Yep.
You know, just like make sure you lose.
Exactly what you want. Broncos, Seahawks, Bears, Rams. That's who the 49ers have to finish.
What is it? Hold on, say it again.
Broncos, Seahawks, Bears, Rams. Right now, Rams control their own destiny. Saints lose another game. Rams could be resting their starters week 17. Can't lose if you're the 49ers. You can't. I mean, you can't win if you're the 49ers. You can't. You got to keep. You cannot give up that number one pick, man. That is Nick Bosa, right? Like, that's Nick Bosa right now at number one. Or number two, and... You have Buckner and Armstead, and what are you, you know, I mean, sure, you could draft that Oliver Quinn Williams. Like, it's a good move, but Nick Bosa is the edge rusher that this team needs. They need an edge presence. They can't win. I think it's so important for San Francisco not to win.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important for Oakland to win because then, as we've seen.
To win, you mean to lose.
Yes. We're like, it's funny how on.
We're doing golf here.
What is it on Tankathon? They have like the team streaks, like how many they've won or lost. And normally it's like, oh, they won. So like the lettering would be like in green, like, oh, they're on a win streak, or like, oh, they're losing. They're on a bad streak. So the lettering is red. It's the other way around in this one. Like the Texans won 9 straight. So their text is like dark red. Like you're blowing it. You're not getting the top draft in.
Right.
And then obviously like you have the New York Jets who have lost like 6 straight. And it's like, yeah, you guys are doing great. Keep it up.
I think you're right.
We've seen years past that like number two is a really important piece when it comes to the rest of the draft. Like number two often shapes what the whole landscape of the draft is going to be because almost in any class, sometimes when there's a quarterback that goes basically 1-2, it could be a little bit more controlled, but I always feel like in every class, there's that one guy that's going to go at the top and you just kind of know it. And this year's not any different. It's going to be Nick Bosa, who's ever at one, but then two, you can get a little creative. Like you said, you brought up two names right there at Oliver, Quinn and Williams, and that's just at one position, right? Well, maybe if you don't even want that position, then it's different. You're talking about two guys who'd be worthy of the number two overall spot who are just from the same position. So how many other guys in this draft would possibly be there? Certainly quarterbacks, maybe an offensive weapon if you like it enough. The wide receiver class is pretty stacked. I wouldn't think that one would go number two overall, but that's just, I think, going to the mix of the control that you can have over the draft if Oakland, which already has a crap ton of first-round picks, would want to move back again.
Right.
So
and maybe, you know, it is. It's important to be in that position, I think. You know,
because here's the thing, too. And sorry to interrupt you there, but I do that all the time, so you're used to it. Oakland's division is extremely good. So their strength of schedule is basically as high as I think any other team in the NFL. Like Oakland has the highest strength of schedule. High strength of schedule is bad. So they're only one game in front of both the Jets and the Cardinals. Like, if Oakland wins, say, next week, and both the Jets and the Cardinals win, Oakland drops to 4. And then, like, they're in trouble. Because it's all – when you have the worst strength of schedule, and by worst I mean best, it's almost as if you're 2 games behind the teams that even might be tied with you.
Yep.
So
– right.
It is – it might be more crucial for Oakland to lose out than San Francisco, even when you put it like that, just because they will drop like an anchor if they win another game.
Well, Oakland plays a Pittsburgh Steelers team that'll basically be fighting for their season for the division title at the very least. If the Steelers lose to the Raiders, they've got the Saints and Patriots coming up after that. So they're going to be in massive trouble. So you'd think the Raiders could chalk up an L for next week, which is good. Then they have to play the Bengals, though, with Driscoll. Driscoll's pretty rough today, or yesterday. I don't know, man. Like, the Raiders still might win a game. They might screw this up. I'm not counting out. San Francisco, I think they're cooked. I can't. If they win another game, it's crazy. The only chance they have is if the Rams play their backups last week of the season. So we'll see what happens as we get closer to that game, obviously. But right now, I don't see another win for them. They're terrible. I mean, they're bad. Like, Seattle's kind of like a good team this year, you know, slugging it out with people, but, like, I mean, they blew San Francisco away, and Seattle doesn't really blow anybody away, not the Seahawks of recent years. So
you're not wrong.
I think San Francisco's locked in. It's a huge race in my mind, but if Oakland gets number one, it's really becomes really interesting, because yes, Oakland has those 3 first round picks, but, man, like, Dallas is looking pretty good to win that division, and Chicago is looking really good to win that division. And Chicago's sitting at 26, and Dallas sitting at 22. So you got picks, but, like, it isn't like you can get a quarterback if you don't take one early. So if San Francisco, let's say they stay at 1, they take Nick Bosa, Oakland sitting at number 2. Remember, they drafted P.J. Hall and Maurice Hurst this year. Hurst has been awesome. Hall has been promising and has flashes. They still have Vanderdoes there. I know he's been hurt, and they have other guys there that can play. The interior defensive line seems fairly set. The best edge guy's off the board. Move back, right? Or take a quarterback. It's one of those 2 things, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, those are, like, the most logical, I guess, to me in that scenario.
And everybody's
obviously,
like,
we,
oh, take
we'll have
pass
plenty
rushers
to talk about that might shake it up before then, but.
Right. If somebody was like, take pass rushers, take the best player available, I get it, but, like, think about the modern NFL. You are never going to have 3 interior defensive linemen on the field, and you already spent a second-round pick on P.J. Hall, and Maurice Hurst has been one of the best rookie defensive linemen, defensive players in the league this season. So you cannot sit Maurice Hurst, and you cannot sit P.J. Hall, because you're committed to him with that second-round pick, that development, that he's always going to be a developmental high upside player, and if he can't play, you can only play 2 interior defensive linemen on 70-75% of your snaps, because you're in nickel, and you're not going to play 3 of those guys, because, and what are you going to do on the edge? You have to play 2 edge. You have to play 2 inside, and you can't play 3. It's not like when you take an edge and you can put an edge inside, but you can't take Quinn Williams or P.J. Hall or one of these guys and play them on the edge. You know what I mean?
You can do that with that Oliver because he's tiny.
Okay, you might be able to do it with that Oliver. He's crazy explosive, but, like, you know, generally speaking, you're gonna play edge guys, and then you might kick another edge inside, but vice versa. So.
In reality, you'd love to do what Ohio State does, and basically at some points have 4 edge rushers on the field at one time.
That would be grand. The Raiders would just like to have 1 edge rusher, period, but they traded him away, so I guess now they get what they get. But I mean,
edge rushers are hard to find.
It is. They're
John
very
Gruden
hard to find.
Said that they're hard to find.
If they stay at number 2, they're about to find exactly how hard they are to find, because they're going to miss out on one of the best ones in the draft by this much. And in some ways, poetic justice for the dumbest trade I've ever seen in my life. The Jets at 3. Let's just real quick look at what these teams are kind of looking at in this range. Obviously, they want an edge pass rusher. By the way, Jets losing today, massive. They lost 6 in a row. It's terrific. They're climbing the draft. They're climbing this order quickly. I don't think they weren't even. I don't know if they were even up to, because the Cardinals won. That moves them down to 4 from 2. Terrible win for the Cardinals today, by the way.
But they did. They did what they helped the world out today,
because they took out the Packers and they took out Mike McCarthy and they freed.
Because
Aaron
they
Rodgers.
Took out Mike McCarthy, right.
All right, that's a fair point. But for the Arizona Cardinal franchise, in a vacuum, right?
Not good.
Can't believe they won that game. Probably one of the most surprising results of the season to me, and maybe it shouldn't have been. Maybe that's on me. you know, to have expected the Packers to be, I thought, with their season on the line against arguably the worst team.
Weren't they
the double
digit favorites? Packers?
Probably, yeah.
I swear they were like 10.5-point favorites.
And I think we probably both took them because
you Oh, just, God, yeah, we did. I mean, yeah, both of us took the Packers.
Cardinals got the Lions, Falcons, Rams, and Seahawks to finish the season. So
wait, this is the Cardinals or the Jets now?
This is the Cardinals. I'm looking at the Jets and Cardinals here kind of together. Jets could go a number of different directions.
So hold on. Arizona's got Detroit. Is that what you said?
Yes, Detroit, Atlanta, Rams, and Seahawks.
Because two of those are really big, because Detroit and Atlanta are picking 5 and 6. So those are teams that, you know, right. It's almost like when you're going up against a wild card team and you're actually, you know, you're trying to make the playoffs. It's almost as if like the game that you win against a wild card team that you're going up against counts as like a game and a half. It's almost like a little bit of a bonus because you certainly take one away from them as you add one to yourself. So Arizona, these next 2 weeks for them are really crucial because they can get some space between these teams that might be jumping them, because I don't really think that Arizona is going to catch Oakland or San Francisco, even though it is only one game. But these next two games are big for them in their draft spot.
Absolutely. Jets got the Bills, the Texans, the Packers, the Patriots. They could win one more. They could beat Buffalo next week.
Yeah, Buffalo's I'm looking at one game in there. One game in there, I think.
Big game. Well, the Jets are kind of in a position where they need picks, in my opinion. I think their team is pretty bad. Their roster is pretty bad. They need to fortify a lot of different positions.
Well, then they need to tank and trade.
But, you know, honestly, dude, Jets could move down, or Jets could be lower and take Jonah Williams. You know, I think that's a legitimate option for them. They need a tackle. They need edge defenders, too. They need edge pass rushers. You can move down and get those. They have Leonard Williams inside, some other decent players. But, I mean, obviously, Quinnen Williams at Oliver, those guys work. You know, I mean, Todd Bowles.
All right, hold on. Let me set a scenario for you.
Okay.
Let's say San Francisco wins one more. Oakland doesn't. Okay.
Okay. Oakland picks number one.
Oakland picks number one. They take Nick Bosa.
Okay.
Let's say the Jets are picking three. All right. Let's say Ohio State really wants the first quarterback off the board too. Like they want to. Like Oakland wants to make the most out of this draft. Okay. And they want, like, Dwayne Haskins or something. If you're the Jets, think about the Jets' needs and what they're at. Would you trade? Right now, it's currently number 22 and number 26, the other first-round picks that Oakland has.
Yeah.
Would you do it?
To 22 and 26?
Yeah.
No way. You need, like, next year's first two.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You can't take two picks in the 20s for the number three spot. I mean, you
just asking,
right? Like, I'm not tripping for that.
No, I don't know.
That seems like, I mean, you're 22 and 26. You're getting into second round graded players over a top five player for that pick, man. I need next year's first and maybe a second or third this year. I mean, I need that deal to be sweet. A third, I don't know.
All right.
I mean, maybe it's just one of this year's first, and because Raiders will probably be picking high again next year. I mean,
remember
the Raiders have two next year.
They need multiple players. So.
Yeah, it's a possibility. It's a possibility that the Jets explore trading back that far. That would be far for me. I'm thinking more like Giants trying to move up, Jags trying to move up. We'll see what happens. We know teams can fall in love with quarterbacks again. We don't know who's going to be in this class, which makes this whole predicting the top of the draft order thing hard, but I mean, obviously, to me, when I look at Pat Shurmur's offense, I don't see Dwayne Haskins being a fit in his mind. Not that he couldn't play in it, but in Shurmur's mind, what he wants, I don't see that being a Dwayne Haskins quarterback. We can obviously, you know, continue to talk about that in the upcoming months if Haskins does declare.
The thing, though, is that I don't know what Haskins is going to be in the NFL. He's a redshirt sophomore. Like, he's 20 years old. Like, no, we don't know. We see what he is at Ohio State. Okay, that's great, but we know Ohio State basically just has better athletes than every single person, than every single team in the Big Ten. So they've got a kid who obviously has a really nice arm who can unleash it sometimes, but like, we haven't even seen enough of Dwayne Haskins to necessarily know like what he could be in the NFL.
I mean,
like,
I agree with you.
He is such a wild card to me.
Yeah. I agree with you. I just don't know that Shurmur will feel the same way. And we don't know Jacksonville's offensive you know, if, I mean, obviously, and I guess, own, but
I don't even know if teams are going to take that as a negative or a positive.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Like, some teams could look at that, like, exactly what I just said and went, yeah, we could mold this guy into something different, a little bit different than what we've seen on tape. And other teams might listen to exactly what I said and just go, yeah, I can't trust this. It's way too much up in the air, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're smart and you're the Jets or the Cardinals, like, you're holding the rest of the league hostage right now. Like, if you guys want a quarterback and the Raiders don't take one,
you're pumping up to Wayne Haskins.
Yeah, like, just come up and get one, fellas.
A gentleman and a scholar.
Right, like, they don't need him. Like, even if he's good, who cares? It means another good skill player falls. And obviously, you can't trade down too far, but, like, if you're the Jets, you go from 3 to 7, you stock up on some picks. That's a big move for a team like
instead of leaking tapes of like him being in trouble, they're leaking tapes of him like doing good charity work around the community.
Right, helping old ladies across the street. Something,
exactly.
You know?
TMZ, like, gets a hold of footage of Dwayne Haskins helping this old lady take her groceries to her car. Unsolicited. Unbelievable.
I mean, that's like, honestly, you're talking about strategy wise. I mean, obviously that we're being, you know, facetious there, but like that, I mean, if you're the Jets and Cardinals, that's what
are we, John?
Do. No, I mean, it could literally happen. I could see.
Do you want to win?
Drew Locke walking an old lady across the street to a car, misses the car by a mile. True Drew Locke. Trade up for this man, ladies and gentlemen.
He took her to the wrong car, but boy, did that cart go a mile down that parking lot.
Took her straight down the middle of the highway instead of crossing the street. Put people in harm's way, but man, isn't he a gentleman. We've taken this way too far. Arizona, though, I think, I mean, honestly, even if 4, it's a good opportunity to add a player onto your team that's going to make a difference. Like, if you stay there. Let's just pretend, let's take trades out of the equation for a second, because we obviously know it's all on the table right now, but I mean, for them, Quinnen Williams or Ed Oliver is a difference maker. You know, decent chance one of them is here, I think, at this point still. You could use an edge pass rusher. Jonah Williams is huge for that offensive line. You know, there are so many different things Arizona could add here that make sense just because this team is so needy. Now, getting more picks, never a bad idea at all, you know, especially when they were at 2. I love that spot for Arizona and why I think it's really bad that they won, because at 2, they could just control the draft. You know, if San Francisco is at 1, and maybe it still works out this way, but San Francisco at 1, Arizona at 2, you control the draft, really, I think. You know, you're in a position where you can hold teams hostage for that top quarterback, at whoever it is. History has shown us, like I said, 1's going to go top 5, and you now hold the keys to where that kind of begins. You know, so I just think it's a great opportunity for them if they do get back to that 2 spot, or you stay there, move down for whatever, you take a good player, you're going to get one for Arizona. They have so many holes. You gotta find a way to get more picks out of this, I think. So I love it if they're 2, you know, and can move down to 4 or 5 and still get the player they wanted, but get a ton of picks too. I think it's perfect. So a lot in play for a lot of these teams, obviously. Detroit, you know, will they value pass rush? I don't know, but it's clearly what they need. A lot of the you know, big value in the draft is in the defensive line, and a lot of the big needs, if you look across the board, I mean, San Francisco, Oakland, the Jets, Arizona, Detroit, Atlanta needs interior defensive line. How the Giants don't have any pass rush, you know, Buffalo needs a pass. I mean, every team in the top 10, except for Jacksonville, I mean, pass rush, defensive line help. I mean, all over the place. So It really is interesting how board matches up. You know, this one year where there's hardly any quarterbacks, hardly anybody in the top 10 needs one, or will probably get one. You know, we think the Raiders and Giants need one, but I mean, that very well may not happen. Carr's still under contract. Manning's still under contract. You know, somebody may sign Bridgewater. I mean, we may be in a totally different place with them by the time the draft rolls around. You know, Jacksonville's the team that you look at and you're like, for sure.
I mean, they have to.
Right. They bench Bortles. I mean, they got to go get one. Like, they got to go get Haskins. You know, if he declares and Herbert doesn't or whatever, you know. So they're the one, again, like I said, that probably loses the most by winning. So interesting scenarios all over the top 10, I think, and how it relates to the quarterback. We'll kind of keep doing this on Mondays, like unpacking kind of what's there, giving you guys a snapshot of what's left the rest of the season, where our odds are. Right now, San Francisco really looking pretty. That strength of schedule is right where they want it to be, nice and terrible. They have lost pretty epically the last couple weeks, 3 weeks in a row.
Nice and terrible.
They have the schedule to lose out the rest of the way. Again, just don't mess it up and win, guys. That's all you got to do, because right now they are on their way to securing that huge, crucial piece that they need for the future, and that is obviously really big for that franchise, because they could bounce back pretty nice next year, I think. There you go, our thoughts on the top 10 of the 2019 NFL draft order. We've got a ton to talk about tomorrow in terms of college football playoffs and all that kind of stuff, and how that all shook out, and whether we agree or don't agree with it. I'm really excited to talk about that tomorrow on the show for you guys, because there is a lot for us to talk about. So until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.